I've been working on my body. You ever seen a nigga hit Pilates? No, I ain't feeling sorry. Been in the kitchen bumping Maserati. Shit, I've been in the crib going crazy. I've been moving work on the daily. Baby, ain't you trying to be a baby? Understand, I'm just trying to be the daily.
Hi, my name is Pablo, and this is the Back Catalog Podcast with Pablo the Don. Thank you guys so much for joining me for another episode of the Back Catalog Podcast. Before we get started today and discuss probably one of the most interesting topics right now in all of media, I wanted to say thank you so much for all the support as always. It's always really cool to see you guys really, really support me and go hard for the podcast and the TikTok and just me in general. I really appreciate it. Make sure you guys give us a rating on Apple Music, Anchor, and Spotify, as it helps us out a lot and it shows me the feedback that I wanted to see. If you're able to drop a review, make sure you do that as well. It's really important that we have those metrics so I know what episodes work and what episodes don't work and what you guys are interested in hearing me talk about. Today's episode is probably going to be one of the most important episodes that we do because of the topic of conversation, which is the interesting and incredibly odd world of parasocial relationships. In this episode, we're going to talk about the word parasocial relationship, where it came from, how it got its start, and how it's morphed as we've moved further and further into the digital age, and what it means now. We're going to talk about how detrimental these relationships can be, not only for the celebrity who is the object of a person's affection, but also the person who's exuding these behaviors. I think parasocial relationships are by far one of the most interesting phenomenons, especially on the internet. And as someone who's kind of experienced what it's like to have people parasocially attached to me, but also watch how it unfolds as people parasocially attached to other people with bigger platforms and bigger names than I have, it's just been a topic that I think needs to be talked about in a specific way. And I say that because I feel as though parasocial relationships always are talked about in a negative sense. And for the most part, I would say 95 to 98% of parasocial relationships are detrimental and dangerous. But there is that couple few percentage of people and types where it's not really dangerous and people do have a grasp on what reality actually is. I'll be mainly using one source to talk about parasocial relationships and give the main definition of what it is, and that is findapsychologist.org. I'll also link the definition to parasocial relationships from that article in the description of this episode. So as per findapsychologist.org, a parasocial relationship is one that is completely one-sided, where one person extends emotional energy, interest, and time, and the other party slash persona is completely unaware of the other's existence. Parasocial relationships are most common with celebrities or organizations like sports teams or television stars. Most parasocial relationships expand the social network in a way that negates the chance of rejection and empowers individuals to model and identify with individuals of their choosing who naturally elicit an empathic response. For some, the one-sided nature of the relationship is a relief from a strained complementary relationships in their real life. So parasocial relationships are cultivated by the media to resemble face-to-face relationships. We're going to talk more about those strained complementary relationships in people's real lives, but for now, let's talk about parasocial relationships and how I've kind of seen them play out on television and now into the digital world. The term was coined in 1956 to describe people's relationships with media figures that they saw on television. And to that effect, I believe we all have parasocial relationships. We all have our own favorite shows that we watch and our own favorite artists that we follow on all social medias. And especially with television shows and television personalities even, we get so deeply and emotionally invested in these people, these characters, these storylines without actually really knowing the people or the characters that are being presented to us. And in a way, it's supposed to be that way. When writers and producers are sitting down to craft a story to tell us, the whole point is to get people so invested in the characters that they either watch again or, for sake of movie, get attached to the actor that is playing that character so we continue to watch their films. And even with musical artists, they attempt to write empathic songs that we can attach to and therefore attach to them. no matter if they're speaking from a first person narrative, third person narrative, or giving a entirely different story than their personal lives, and they are just acting as the narrator for that story. And even sometimes those relationships can carry over to when we meet these celebrities in real life. Like, I know for me, if I met anyone on the street, really, but specifically someone like Ari Lennox, I would definitely wave and smile, because the person that I've seen on the internet and the person that I hear singing those songs have done something for me personally, even if it's made me laugh, made me think about relationships in a different way, or even made me cry. And even though she's never known who I am personally, we still have this connection over her music, which is our shared bond, essentially. And it makes me and everyone else who listens to her feel like they know her more, even though we definitely don't. I think this baseline phenomenon is why so many people are so deeply attached to Oprah. Because when she started her show, a lot of the contents of it was appealing to white, middle-aged, middle-of-America moms who were either just picking their kids up from school or doing something around the house. And it was very, homemaker-friendly. Oprah provided a lot of these women escape from their reality, but also told a lot of their stories. She would invite guests on that specifically appealed to these audiences in order to play to their emotional ethos and get them hooked and want them to watch even more. And then when things got really good for Oprah, she would do giveaways and she would do her book club, which would only leave people wanting to be in close association to Oprah even more, which allowed her to do cookbooks and magazines and special sit downs with other people's parasocial person in interviews. I mean, I can only imagine how some people felt when Oprah sat down with their favorite author and it was like two parasocial relationships from two different universes colliding into one to make this ultimate parasocial relationship situation. And sometimes I think that's how we feel, especially me, when two of my favorite artists collab. It's like someone from Marvel and someone from DC meeting up and doing something amazing for me, essentially. And it's like, oh God, I dreamed of this collab. As I've grown up, I've seen how parasocial relationships have both been a positive for a lot of people, providing a lot of emotional positivity, but also been very detrimental. And this whole thing reminds me of the first time that I ever saw a parasocial relationship pretty much take like a left in a complete detour. But before I tell that story, let's talk about today's sponsor. Support for the Back Catalog podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in below-the-waist grooming and hygiene. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, 4.0. Join over 2 million people worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free shipping worldwide with the code BCP20 at manscaped.com. I mean, just imagine shaving with a sleek, well-designed, and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I am blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and the details on the 4.0 are honestly next level. I was such an avid shaver before Manscaped, and honestly, there were a couple of times where I nicked myself shaving on some really sensitive areas. And from then on, I was pretty traumatized. So then I decided to switch over to waxing, which you guys know can be pretty expensive and can be painful still. After you cut yourself a few times, your confidence is definitely going to be shaken when you try to shave. But after trying the 4.0, honestly, y'all, I have no worries about shaving, and I am more confident than ever whenever it's time for me to groom myself. Manscaped engineered the ultimate growing and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents, and thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology, I now feel confident about shaving. This upgraded trimmer includes a multi-function on-off switch that can engage a travel lock. It also gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. The Lawnmower 4.0 even allows you to customize your trim through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. that way you can decide if you want to leave it a little bushy or take it all the way down to the skin. Did I mention wireless charging? The new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery life last longer. If you've been shaving with the same below-the-waist trimmer on your face, you've been doing it wrong. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth. Also, it's just fucking nasty to do that. It's time to get your own hair and body trimmer with Manscaped to make me time the best time and enhance your confidence. Get 20% off plus free shipping worldwide with the code BCP20 at manscaped.com. Manscaped makes grooming easy. So I'll never forget the first time I ever saw a parasocial relationship seemingly take a sharp left turn was when I was a kid and I was watching TRL. Now, of course, before that, you can list a whole bunch of different murders that happened to celebrities by way of odd parasocial relationships, whether that be John Lennon, or there's even been a few actors and actresses that were killed specifically in Los Angeles because of parasocial relationships. But for me, it was one fateful day watching TRL, and on this episode, they decided to do a trivia game show pitting the fangirls of Backstreet Boys against the fangirls of NSYNC. So here's how the game essentially went. The host of TRL at the time, which of course was Carson Daly, asked each group specific trivia questions about their favorite band. If you got it right, you got a point, and if you got it wrong, you just got nothing. I'm not saying the questions were difficult, but I really don't know because they were also very specific to each group, and I was not interested in either of those groups that deeply. Like, I did like them, I enjoyed them, I went to their concerts, but did I know, like, all the ins and outs of their lives? Absolutely not. So at the end of the game, the NSYNC team had won, and you could tell Carson Daly and the NSYNC team starting to feel like odd. You can watch them on TV and their like faces start feeling weird. And it's because the team captain for the Backstreet Boys group, whose name was Tiffany, I will never forget her fucking name because it was crazy what she did, literally is like scowling at the team that won, who was NSYNC's team. And when Carson asked her if she was okay or if anything was wrong, she said, "Of course I'm not okay. We lost. I'm gonna kill her," talking about the NSYNC team captain. I had never seen someone's passion and just sheer idolatry pop out so hard, to be honest with you. And to be honest, I really don't even know why she was so mad. Like, if you wanted to win that bad, you should have knew more Snapple cap facts about your favorite boy band. Like, you can't be mad because they just knew more about their, like, band that they profess they love so much, you know? But the thing that made me realize that this was not scripted or normal was the look on Carson Daly's face, which was just sheer uncomfortability and also what seemed to be fear. And I didn't understand it until later, but as someone like him who had probably been around a lot of crazed fans before, I'm sure hearing that one person wanted to kill another person part of a different fandom or fangirl group was probably quite jarring for him, because it was for me as like a 7-year-old watching that. And I'm sure today that Tiffany is like a totally fine, normal, working class adult, I hope. But in that moment, she really possessed a sort of, I don't even know what to term it, just like sheer delusion that I've never seen on people before. And it was kind of scary. From that moment on, it was clear to see that like parasocial relationships were quickly taking more of a stronghold on people as, you know, things like internet chat rooms popped up and you could have chat rooms dedicated to whoever you were obsessed with, and also like custom ringtones for your phone so you could put your favorite person's ringtone as like the call tone whenever anyone called you. It went way beyond just merchandise. It went way beyond tickets to concerts and meet and greets and CD signings and things like that. But I don't think it was until social media really popped up, specifically like MySpace, Tumblr days, were the first times I really got to see how people were literally forming fandoms for folks and how crazy it started to get just to be online and to be in any sort of fandom or just be appreciative of someone's art in a super fan kind of way. It just became so easy for people to connect and talk about their faves. And in a way, that situation there is good. I love how accessible it is for people to find folks who are just like them, who like the same music, who identify the same way they do, and express their love to each other about these artists or celebrity personas. I think the great thing about the internet is the power of connection. And if anything is going to bring people together, it'll probably be music and TV and entertainment. But I think the most dangerous thing is how those things that brought people together just for love and sheer camaraderie have turned into attacking people online, doxing them, showing up at people's house, swatting them, things like that. It's really become an intimidation tactic to keep people afraid of speaking their truth, as we just saw this week with Nicki Minaj, her husband Kenneth Petty, and his assault victim, Jennifer Huff. What's been able to cause these attachments is that social media is a 24-hour access channel to your favorite celebrities. Your favorite person could post a picture at 3 a.m. your time and you can see it in real time. And I think that factor alone causes people to be able to form even deeper bonds. It also cuts out a lot of the middlemen with having social media. And I think I've talked about this so many times before in so many aspects. But before the internet, people genuinely had to pick up a magazine or watch an interview on TV or on the radio to even have any sort of intimate connection with their favorite artists. They also had the option of going to shows or meet and greets, but you didn't have such an intimate and seemingly personal connection with these folks until the internet came around. I remember being on Twitter in the early days, I'm talking 2009, when people were still hyping up Facebook and MySpace, and seeing someone like Lady Gaga literally build her platform on Twitter by literally following everyone who followed her, sometimes even just following them first. I, to this day, still don't understand how or why I got Lady Gaga to follow me, but she did way back in 2009. And while I'm grateful to still have, you know, that follow, it still shows that she was literally trying to craft a community online. And that's really what the artistry became about in a lot of sense in terms of marketing. But when it seems like your favorite person in the whole world is talking to you by sending out a tweet, even though they have millions of followers, that can be a building block in a relationship. A lot of these people who also are very young, in some cases, feel as though their favorite artist is talking directly to them. And they feel like Twitter and Instagram or whatever are just mediums in order to talk to their favorite artists. As I was doing research for this podcast, I came across a lot of profiles that had their engagement numbers in their bio. And by that, I mean saying things like, Nicki liked my video 3 times. Billie Eilish posted me on her story 2x. Such and such commented it X amount of times to me. It's like those little tokens and little breadcrumbs to them mean the world. And I understand it's a lot when someone like a Billie Eilish or whatever, because even I still do it. When someone who you look up to or you like or you enjoy comment on your photo, comment on your video, like your stuff, it means a lot. Like for me, just this week, Lil Nas X commented on my Montero review. And even though I didn't form an attachment to him, I appreciated him acknowledging my work and acknowledging that I appreciated his art. And I think when celebrities or people in position of power can do that so many times over to these kids a lot of the times, but even sometimes adults, it can cause them to fall deeper and deeper in this hole of believing that they have some sort of actual and genuine connection with this artist that goes beyond just the product or just the service that they're selling them. And what makes this so dangerous is that not only do these fans start putting celebrities up on a pedestal and practicing some form of idolatry, but you see a lot of celebrities starting to weaponize those people who do idolize them against people who genuinely have valid critiques or sometimes are just hating, to be honest with you. Watching the events unfold this week with Nicki Minaj was not only interesting, but also very alarming. Because what I think a lot of people didn't see was that she hadn't tweeted in a week. But as soon as Jennifer Huff came out and told her story and it began to spread like wildfire across the internet, you saw Nicki coming on Twitter just to like people's tweets saying that they would never not support Nicki and that no matter how hard people try to cancel Nicki, they won't back down from that. They won't allow her to go away. They will always keep her legacy alive. She won't be scared out of the public eye and she will always be their queen, essentially. And while to an extent I do understand defending your favorite artists when they are subject to attacks that are unjust, there was no attack that was had on Nicki Minaj this past week that was unjust unless it brought up her appearance or her baby or anything of that sort. Anything that stuck to the pending case, the pending civil case about her, the idea that she has weaponized her fans in order to keep people silent, or the idea that she used the coronavirus and vaccines and a multitude of other things to distract us from the fact that she was being sued and that Jennifer Huff was going to speak her truth, just furthers the point that people believe that if they build a strong fan base full of people who will protect them at all costs and will never hold them accountable, they can do and say whatever they want without any fear of ramifications. And truthfully, for Nicki, I do believe that was true for a very long time. Even I had an experience this year where I think I said I didn't like a Nicki Minaj song, and you guys know how I do my reviews. I give reasons why, logical reasons. And because of that, not only was I subject to a bunch of attacks, both in my DMs, on my TikTok, on Twitter, everywhere, but also was doxxed and had my public information revealed to people who didn't deserve to see that and were harassing people that I loved after that. And don't get me wrong, I understand that celebrities can always control their fandoms. They cannot make people not do these things. But I also have seen Demi Lovato stop their fans from attacking and harassing people and say that they don't condone that type of behavior and told people to calm down and to not defend her so frivolously. So while I understand there will always be some outliers and bad faith actors, there's still something you can do and say to let people know you don't condone that. Another example is Taylor Swift. When the show Jenny and Georgia came out on Netflix, they told a pretty distasteful joke that alluded to Taylor Swift having a bunch of boyfriends in a short amount of time. It was genuinely disgusting. And so Taylor Swift, or whoever tweeted from her account, said that she didn't appreciate it. And what ensued was a bunch of racial attacks against the cast of Jenny and Georgia, but specifically the Black actors from that show. Even though they aren't the ones who wrote those lines, they're just the people who got paid to say the lines. And it just goes to show when people think they're attacked, whether just or unjust, especially celebrities, their fans are going to do and say anything to make the perpetrators of those attacks or the perpetrators of valid, solid critiques feel their wrath, whether that be by doxing or continuous harassment, name calling, revealing public information. Like I said before, swatting, they will stop at nothing to make your life hell. Another point about parasocial relationships that I think a lot of people skip over is the fact that these things fester and feed off of social media. It's just become so easy to express your feelings on your fave through social media. Whereas before it was either in your group chat or maybe you would have a phone call weekly with a bunch of NSYNC or Backstreet Boys fans and y'all would discuss what happened in the news that week. But with the 24/7 news cycle and the invention of blogs dedicated to certain artists and things like that, it's easier for people to express their feelings. Parasocial relationships are popular within these online communities, and the increase is probably due to the sense of knowing these people or the perception of parasocial interactions as having a high reward with no chance of rejection. Meaning that the odds of the celebrity even telling you to stop this behavior are so incredibly low, even if it does get dangerous. I feel as though truly within fandoms and stans and fangirls, fanboys, all that, there is no checks and balances. While there definitely are level-headed people who are fans of these folks, you can't make anyone stop harassing folks. You can't make anyone stop doxing folks. You can't force anyone to do anything, except maybe by outcasting them from the group that they're in directly, which in this day and age, if you're kicked out of one group, fandom, section of a fandom, it's so easy for you to go and find another where people congregate and you can continue with the mess. And even if maybe you find yourself not being part of any subset or a smaller group of a fandom, you can still wreak havoc on your own and disseminate information that's sensitive to people who have critiqued or talked about negatively your faves. While I was looking at more things for this podcast, I saw that at first when people would discuss parasocial relationships, psychologists actually reviewed and viewed parasocial relationships as a pathological symptom of loneliness, isolation, and social anxieties. However, there actually was a study that found there was no correlation between loneliness and the intensity of viewers' parasocial relationships with on-screen figures or celebrities or whoever may have you. Other research actually decreased the stigma of such relationships and led clinicians to believe that such relationships can broaden one's social network rather than restrict it. Parasocial relationships are seemingly important to viewers and in many ways advantageous because of the support the viewer gains from the relationship. A lot of people who are actually mentally ill find afternoons with Oprah or Ellen or a tweet from Nikki or Billy or whoever as the one chance in the day to see a friend without stress and gain strength from their relationship with the hostess or the celebrity. Individuals with parasocial relationships, a lot of the times, and I know I've said it before too, which goes back to the extent at which this is explored at, a lot of them say that their favorite person helped them get through tough times. And some people even perceive those people as helping significantly in shaping their identity. And I think that part right there is the most dangerous part of parasocial relationships. People on the internet have shaped their entire personalities off the backs of celebrities, Instagram influencers, TikTokers, musicians, whoever you want to talk about. And you literally start to see people taking on the same mannerisms and characteristics and basically cosplaying these folks. And again, to point back to arguably the biggest figure in this whole parasocial relationship idea, Nicki Minaj, you see how a lot of white men, a lot of white gay men have used her as the butt of the joke, a talking point, or even a way to express themselves on social media. They're out here always quoting her song lyrics. They're out here getting American flags with her face printed on them. They're using this woman and her blackness and everything about her, literally, to shape their own personalities. And I'm not even saying people have done this with just Nikki. People have done this with The Office, Friends, Seinfeld, anything you pretty much name that has hit mainstream success in terms of music or television or even just media consumption, people have tried to make an entire personality off of it. People don't know how to formulate their own thoughts or feelings anymore. They use their favorite celebrities as a way to form their own opinions. And I think that sense of not knowing oneself is what causes a lot of people to lash out, especially when their favorite artist or whoever lashes out at someone as well. That's why I think when Nikki gets into beef with whatever artist, you see droves and droves of barbs just going after that artist, saying anything about them, their family, their kids, doxing their family members, whatever, because Nikki has acknowledged that that is someone they don't like. And now people who are trying to shape their identity in the image of her believe that they too cannot like this person. They too must online violently attack these people. And that's why for me personally, as someone who has not only been the target of a lot of these attacks from different fandoms and fans, but also a person who, as much as I don't want to admit this, does have some influence on the internet, it is so imperative and important to me that I keep the very clear distinction to anyone who watches my content that y'all do not know me. Y'all know the 1 to 3 minute videos that I give you every day on TikTok. Y'all know the constant funny tweets and retweets on Twitter. Y'all know the funny post on my Instagram story. Y'all know the 30 minutes that I talk to you every week on this podcast. But y'all do not know me as a human being outside of this internet space. And to be honest with y'all, you never will. And I do that on purpose. I like to keep the line very, very clear between what is my social media life and what is my real life. as it provides me a level of balance and a level of humbleness that I personally think is necessary for myself, just to remind myself that I am a normal person. And even if I do have whatever amount of followers, no matter how big it grows, I'm still a normal person. I still have a normal family. I still live in a normal town, and I am no better than anyone else. And don't get me wrong, I am so incredibly thankful and grateful for the platform that y'all have given me and allowed me to build off the back of reviewing music and just talking about the things I love. But it's important for me to keep most of our discourse there. I'm not in the game of wanting people to know my personal life. I don't want to become one of those weird family bloggers that gyp their kids of millions of dollars but force them to film content. I don't want to be that person that pimps out their relationship for money. I mean, unless we're talking like trillions of dollars, then, you know, we could talk about it. I'm just playing. I just don't want to be that person. I want to talk about music, and I want to talk about how much I love music, and I want to talk about interesting topics as it relates to music, like parasocial relationships, but I don't want people to really form one with me. I love that y'all value my takes, and I love that value my takes have led y'all to follow me on every platform, reach out to me and DM me and ask me for advice or ask me to recommend songs. I do love that. And for the most part, we have kept it there. But I think that's why I'm so staunch on you guys not saying bestie to me or saying certain things, because I just don't want you guys to feel as though I am allowing parasocial relationships to form. I really don't. And it's also another thing that I don't want people to attack folks on my behalf. Now, I understand when people correct folks for misgendering me or calling me out my name, that's fine. But I don't need people to feel galvanized to attack any human beings. And I hope you guys understand that as people who support me, I never want you to attack anyone, even if they do say something out of pocket and disrespectful. I think I owe it to myself and y'all owe it to me to allow me to take care of those weird comments or those very disrespectful comments. Because at the end of the day, I know me, I know my character. And y'all are defending someone y'all ultimately really don't know. And I would hate for one day y'all defend me on something and I did it, or I was wrong about something. Please don't be that. I think my platform is always a space that encourages thinking for yourselves, making your own opinions and formulating your own thoughts and feelings on things, especially music. But I want that to carry over to all facets of your life. Think about things for yourself and think critically all the time. Question everything you see, hear, and look at and consume. That's what I want y'all to take away, not what I ate for breakfast or who I'm beefing with this week or who I'm dating. So with that being said, thank you guys so much for joining me for another episode of the Back Catalog Podcast. It's been a blast talking about parasocial relationships. I honestly am so interested in this topic and would love to do a full-on like live stream or something about this. So if you want that, hit us up on the Instagram, Back Catalog Pod, catalog spelled the American way, C-A-T-A-L-O-G, and let us know that you want to do a live stream about parasocial relationships. Maybe we can get like a psychologist on and we can really dive deep into the phenomenon that is parasocial relationships and parasocial interactions. But for now, make sure you follow me on Instagram at Pablo.thedon. Follow me on Twitter at Pablo the Don with two E's. Follow me on TikTok, Pablo the Don, all one word. And if you feel led, support the Patreon. The link will be in the description box. And follow me on music streaming platforms. I've got Apple Music and I've got Spotify. It's Pablo the Don. Thank you guys so much for joining me for another episode of the Back Catalog Podcast with Pablo the Don. I will see you guys soon. It's time to be the daily scoop, 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 scoop. Tomorrow is my day off. All them rehearsals got me tight. Look at the payoff. And now my body look like something you did take off. I just got my veneers out. Bitches wanna rip they face off. But you thought you'd have a chance after you wanna disrespect me. Let him.